Hey y'all, my name is Jennifer Mosquera, and this is Love, Hope, and Stories. Today I'm chatting with my friend Misty Drake. She is such a beautiful person. She's so encouraging. I love her relationship with God, and anytime I'm around her, I just leave feeling so encouraged and uplifted. I think you're really going to enjoy our conversation today. She is a wise woman, and I just can't wait to share her with you. So here we go. Can you believe we're doing this?
No, it's a little crazy.
So you're my friend Misty Drake, and
yes, ma'am.
We just discovered that we've been friends for 10 years.
We have, yes.
And we met in kind of an unlikely way. Like, when I think about us being friends and how close we are right now, and then how we met, that's kind of fun.
It is. I think it's something that I did never think about back then, that 10 years later we would be as close as we are. I think it was probably something that I'd hoped for at that time, but didn't really think too far ahead as to what that would look like.
And you were coming back to school after not being in college for a while.
Correct.
And I was your resident director.
You were.
Do you remember the first time we met?
I think I do. I think I remember I had moved in early, like before move-in weekend, and I don't remember why I got to do that.
That's right. I remember.
Yeah, and I moved onto the first floor, which I was really excited about. But I think I remember you being all dressed up, like on the actual move-in day. Like, your hair looked great. I think you might have had on pearls or something like that.
Oh my gosh, probably. And you know, yeah. Hair would be important because you were a hairdresser.
Yes.
So you noticed those things.
Yeah, it was curled. And like, I remember you being in the middle of the lobby, like super smiley, talking to all the parents or like all the students. And like, it was just really a buzz. So I maybe got a few minutes with you just to say hi and all that fun stuff.
Oh, that's funny. You know, that was my second year doing that job. The first year was rough, you know?
Yeah.
But the first year is always really, really rough for everybody. I think it's just like a lot of adjustment personally, but then students, they're attached to the person that did the job before them, and you're building trust and you're trying to learn how to, like, it's just a lot. Anyway, that was my second year when I met you, so I probably was like, yes, first year under my belt. Let's meet a whole new crop of people, and let's have a lot of fun this time around.
Yeah, so. For sure. I mean, I think I remember you knew you had a plan.
Of course.
Ways that you didn't want them to go, but then I think you took what you didn't like about that first year and really breathed into, you know, what you really wanted that second year to be about, and you got the people on board that were under your leadership.
That was really easy because I had a great team of people that year.
You did. They were all great.
Yeah. So, so how was that for you coming back to college after you had been in a working professional situation?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird balance. I was super excited because it was something that I had been wanting, like finishing something was important to me back then, probably in different ways than it is now. But I had, you know, went to college at 17, finished a small program by 19, went into the hair industry, was really successful in doing ministry. But I really felt like the Lord was leading me do something different for him, and I felt called, and I don't think I had ever experienced that before. So I was super excited, but I was really nervous. And I think at that stage in my life, it was really important to me to like assert myself as someone who was older or who had experience, or set myself apart to not be treated as if I was younger. And so I think that was why it was a hard balance for me. I'd grown up in a family where you just needed to act older or be older. And so I kind of modeled my life in that way. And so,
because you have a lot of older brothers and sisters.
I do, yes. Yeah, there's about 13 years between me and my closest sibling, and then 25 years between me and my oldest sibling. So it was just something that was normal for me. Mm-hmm. And so coming into the college environment, I wasn't concerned necessarily about being treated like a young college student, but it was just my nature to find like those like higher level or authoritative people, because I would assume that's my circle, like those mm-hmm. people in that age, like that's my group. So I gravitated or wanted to gravitate towards that in some way, which of course is one of the biggest reasons why I gravitated towards you, not just because you were a woman in leadership, but because I would have set myself in your circle at that time. But yeah, I was excited and nervous and just ready to see what God had planned.
Yeah. Okay, so you said you were doing hair and ministry. What did that look like then? Do you remember?
I do. I actually just had this conversation. I was serving as a deacon on the board of my church.
Wow.
I was teaching the adult Sunday school class. I was teaching a Monday night Bible study on the book of Isaiah. And I was running like our infant nursery program, Hello Small Church. So I was doing
at 25.
Yes. Well, and I had grown up in that church literally from the time I was 6 weeks old. Mm-hmm. Had never attended any other church. Grew up with a mother who was in leadership, and we were at church anytime the doors were open. So that was normal for me. And the Lord was really, I think, gave me space to learn mm-hmm. in that church and under different, you know, leadership, whether it was a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, but they really gave you an opportunity to lead. And I don't know that I thought about it at that time. I just thought, oh, this is great. I can teach this class. But thinking about it now, like
oh, wow.
I was at 25, it's insane that mm-hmm. they would give me that honor to do all those things and that they saw something in me that I had no clue was there.
Yeah. Small churches, it's like all hands on deck. I mean,
yes.
If you're alive and breathing, you have a job of some sort, right?
Right.
That's how I grew up. Very small church. And this kind of similar situation where it was like there were no children. I mean, there were no teenagers. I was the teenager at the church. It was that small. But we had a lot of kids, like elementary age. And so who's going to take care of the children and teach them a Bible story? Oh, Jennifer can do that. So, like, at 16, 17 years old, you know, I was the children's pastor. Not that we ever called it that, but,
right.
I mean, and then you
what
think,
you
yeah, you think, like, now as an adult in leadership in church world, it's like, that's crazy, but, you know,
yeah.
It happens.
It does.
And it's good for us. Like, the Lord uses those things to lay ground that we don't know what's
right.
coming down the pike, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing now, 10 years later?
Yeah, so 10 years later, I work for a nonprofit missions organization
mm-hmm.
that sets up the logistics and plans short-term summer mission trips throughout the U.S., Puerto Rico, and Canada. And so we have 56 mission trip sites that are actually running right now. We are preparing for volunteers to flood those cities beginning this Sunday. So we'll see over 25,000 junior high school students and their adults serving different communities. So
wow.
I manage and work on a team that goes into those cities during the year and plans our partnerships, who we serve with. We learn from those communities so that we can educate the people that are coming in. So that's a little bit about what I do now. And then I serve in my church here in just about any capacity. They might need help, but for now it's with what we call our Connect ministry. So I help connect first-time visitors or people who are more interested in learning more about our church.
And that's a volunteer role.
That is volunteer role, yes.
Yeah. Wow. So one of the questions of the podcast, Love, Hope, and Stories, is let's talk about God's love and how you've encountered that in your life. Like, is there a specific thing that comes to mind or something in general? Or
yeah, well, I think when you say that, I was like, man, there's so many
right.
times that I could pull from. But I I think the one that stands out for me, I'd always had a very vivid imagination as a child. Mm-hmm. And literally, like, I could read a book and it was almost like a movie would play in front of me in my mind. And so I really think the Lord uses that imagination that I have in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, in my prayer time or quiet time, will imagine myself literally like I'm writing a story, or we're writing a story. And when I'm wanting to see the Lord or talk to the Lord, I imagine him as if he's right there. Now, whether it's not like I can really see him or his face, but that is a level of intimacy, I think, that brings me closer to the Lord. And so in my like late 20s, I think I felt very secure in my singleness. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of people around me that, you know, from the South, and being the age that I was, they were like, well, you should, how come you're not married? Where are all of your children? And I was like, great, living life, single with the Lord. And but I clearly remember before the Lord, I believe, was sending me out to move to Nashville into like a new season, I was in just a small life group prayer time, and we would spend time with worship music playing, just all in our own space, worshiping the Lord. And I remember being really afraid, and I remember a lot of people questioning, like, well, you're going to move there on, you're going to be all on your own, like, you don't have anyone there. And then, of course, you know, good old Southern mamas are like, well, you're not married, and like, who's going to take care of you? And yeah. So like, all these things are in my mind, but I clearly remember in that prayer time, like, the Lord. And like, I think, you know, I think a lot of young women, you know, you want to get married, and like, that plays different roles in your life for different seasons, but I had really laid that down and I felt good about that. But mm-hmm. in this one prayer moment, it was literally like the Lord knelt down in front of me and was like, you're my bride.
Wow.
And like, I don't think I knew at the time what that meant, but literally in my mind, it was like, I got this vision of like the moment every girl wants, like a wedding dress and like, you know, the groom and like dancing at your wedding. But, you know, it was just an intimate moment, like in prayer, and you're overwhelmed. And then I got up, right? And it's like, we're going to go about our prayer time. And the leader of the life group was like, listen, I really feel like the Lord has asked me to do something, and I don't want you guys to feel weird, but like, Missy, I'm going to, like, will you dance with me? And it was just
oh
like,
oh my gosh,
how did she know? You know, it was just that moment, like, oh my gosh, Lord. And I remember in that moment, like, feeling this immense, like, love, like, that had just happened in that moment with him, but then almost like this confirmation, like, Missy, you weren't crazy, like, you weren't making that up, it wasn't just your imagination, like, mm-hmm. you really are my bride. And I just remember, even thinking about it now, the stuff I didn't have real cognitive understanding of over this last decade, really, from, you know, when he was calling me, I think I have deeper understanding of, like, being wanted, you know, for mm-hmm. marriage, and being chosen, and recognizing, like, no one's ever going to want me more, you know, like, no one's ever going to yeah. choose me more, no one's ever going to love me more than this. And it being like him choosing to have someone else ask me to dance to confirm that. And then the song that was playing was the song that was pretty popular at the time by Kim Walker Smith and Jesus Culture, that the Holy Spirit song, mm-hmm. where it's like, there's nothing worth more that will ever come close. And so literally still to this day, that song will come on, and I immediately almost put my arms in the shape of, like, if I was dancing with the Lord. So I think that, like, has been a huge, probably the most standout moment for me, encountering who he is and his love in that way.
We actually, for the podcast, we have a playlist, a Spotify playlist called awesome. Love, Hope, and Stories. And so I added that, and I was listening to it before we got on the phone together, that song, Holy Spirit, and I have completely different attachment to that song. But
yeah,
I love how music does that, and it really makes me think that he ties all these things together, and I don't know, it's just, it blows my mind, you know.
Yeah, it could definitely be overwhelming if you really start to think about it, but if you imagine, like, just hearing a song on the radio, whether it's a worship song or not, and it takes you back to that moment, I think it's really cool how the Lord would make himself available to us mm-hmm. in every form. And I think using music, which inspires all of us on different levels, will connect us in different ways, no matter what the song is or
yeah,
what the experience is.
Yeah. So, hope.
Yes.
What role does hope play in your life?
I think for a long time when I was young, it was not something that I enjoyed. It was something that was kind of felt, made me feel sorrow, or I think like the scripture, hope deferred makes the heart sick, comes to mind.
Yes.
And I think for me, that in a younger age, my early 20s, that was all I thought about hope. And it took some time, I think, with the Lord and really sturdy people around me like you to help me realize what hope really meant for me. And it wasn't this thing that was almost dead that I didn't realize inside of me. And so now it really, like, when I think of the word hope, it may be cheesy, but I think of like spring and like new things being born or blossoming or roots growing down really, really deep. And I think I needed to have a mature understanding of what hope was. And I think I had a child's heart understanding of like fairy tales and like dreams. And I was mistaking dreams and hope. And so I think when the Lord, when I finally understood, and I mean, I'm still actually really delving into what hope really means, I think, for me. But when I finally understood that I had those two mistaken, it was literally like almost instantaneous that I didn't have, it wasn't hope deferred anymore. It was like, that was a dream that was not ever a reality. And like, that's, I needed to let that go. And like, hope was not that. And so I think hope is, and I think in Christianity, especially growing up, I think why I got the two confused was because hope is usually associated with the word promise.
Yes.
And in my mind, promise was like, I mean, I had a dad who, if he promised me something, I would have it, like, without question.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to want for anything because he promised me all these things. So, I mean, I was really lucky. And so I think I had them associated. I needed to disassociate those, or the Lord did for me. And so I think when that happened, that like, just because I have this dream, or like that's a dream of mine, doesn't mean that it is a promise from the Lord. And it doesn't mean that I should hope in that. I am supposed to hope in him,
right?
And in who he is, and what, in what he does and what he knows, not what I know. And so I think hope for me brings a different level of security and trust. And I don't think that I can hope in the Lord without trusting him, and like without laying down what I think might have been promised to me, or even what is promised to me. The fulfillment of that promise does not distinguish hope. And so I think I'm, like I said, I'm still understanding what that means, but.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times we have like the hope, the word hope and wish are kind of the same thing. Like, I'm hoping this happens, meaning I'm wishing that this is going to happen. And it's kind of sugary and doesn't have a lot of weight to it, you know, the word hope.
Yeah.
But when we think about it in the context that you're talking about, which is what we want to share with the podcast, like hope is deep seated, and there it is a firm foundation, you know. Hebrews 11:1 says faith is the evidence of things that we hope for. And like the fact that we have what you're talking about, this trust and this understanding that I'm not hoping in a thing to happen or a person to come through for me. I'm hoping in God Almighty. Like, he is my hope. Jesus Christ is where my hope is anchored. He knows the plans he has for us. He knows what he wants with our life and how our life plays a role in his ultimate story. You know, like, our life story is really a part of his story. And he knows what he's going to do. And he is a good God. And he is a God of order, and like, he has purpose behind things. And that's, we can hope in that, that it's gonna be good, you know, even if it doesn't feel good, or if there's suffering and affliction, like, there's still goodness to be found in that. And that's where our hope is. So, you know, you've heard me say this before, but I think we should always get our hopes up, right?
Right. Amen. Amen. sense. Speaking of like waiting and hope, what does hope mean for you? Like, what does this podcast mean for you, for other people?
Well, it's funny you should ask, Misty. Hope for me, man. I mean, a lot of it has to do, like, I needed the anchor of hope when my daughter was born. And not really when she was born, because I was on, like, you know, cloud nine when she was born. But, like, 5 weeks after, when we realized her life was not going to be what I had dreamed it was going to be, you know. And that our whole family and everybody with us is going to walk a different path than what we dream of when we find out that we're pregnant and we have baby showers and, you know.
Yeah.
Because of her disability, and that, you know, I'll share that more with the podcast. I'm like, that will come out, but it stopped me in my tracks. And even though, like, you, there are on such a high from having new birth, especially after walking through 10 years of infertility, I just needed something grounding. And
yeah,
what it really came down to is the Lord is my hope. Like, the Lord is the only real, true substance in this whole mind-boggling situation that we're in, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's the only constant. He's the only thing that I can land on. Like I just see, like, a big bed that I can rest on and, like, completely 100%. You know, like, when you're tired, you can sit down in a chair, but then there's still a different level of rest when you actually lay in your bed and put your covers up on you, and you, like, 100% of your body is resting, you know, like,
yeah.
That's kind of where I see, like, this idea of my hope is in the Lord. Like, my hope is in the Lord. And like I said before, he has good plans. He is good all the time, even in the midst of the most difficult situations ever. He is good, and he is constant, and he hasn't changed, and he's not gonna change, and he sees me, and he knows me, and he loves me, and he's got a plan for me, and I can rest in that, you know? So
yeah,
his, like, whenever I really take time to explore how much he loves us, and, like, take time in worship to just, there's no to-do list, there's no agenda, it's just thinking about how good God is and how much he loves us. And when he reveals that overwhelming, overshadowing love, then that causes hope to rise up in me that I can make it through this situation. Like, my daughter's going to be okay. My family's going to be okay. Life, it may be different, but it's going to be a good different, you know?
Right.
And I can still hope in his healing, and I can still hope that he's got good plans that are not, you know, like, I don't just have to accept life of disability. Like, I can believe for something more than that. I can believe for provision. I can believe for healing. I can, you know, like, that's, hope rises up, and it's not like my head is in the clouds. I'm not facing reality, but I'm actually facing a greater reality, you know?
Right.
So I'm hoping that's what this podcast will do for people, that, you know, I listen to podcasts all the time. Do you?
I do, yeah.
Do you like them?
I do. I love them.
I think it's replaced television for me in a lot of ways. Like, now that I'm a mom and I'm always doing something, like, there's always a dish to be washed or clothes to be washed or something to be cleaned, you know, like, and I realize, like, most of the time podcasts are on in the background of something that I'm, like, I'm always multitasking. And I think people today are always, not just moms, but everybody, you know, we're driving somewhere, we're waiting on something. And so we listen to some music or a podcast or something. Like, thank you, iPhones and iPads and
right.
Right. You know, like, thank you, Apple, for being so amazing. But yeah, so I'm hoping that this can, you know, whatever somebody else is doing, what else they're doing, that this is in the background, and, like, something strikes them, and, like, hey, I'm seen, I'm known, God loves me. And then I can believe for things. I hope rises up, right?
Right. It does.
Stories are powerful.
They are. I mean, if you think about how Christ, when he came, like, if you think about how God chose to reveal himself to man in human form, but then if Jesus was our model, I think about how he communicated to the people that he spoke to. And a lot of time, like, he told stories,
yeah,
or parables, a version of a story. And I think when you're telling a story or when you're listening to a story, you're relating on such a level, like in humanity or intimately, that it kind of, you stop thinking about yourself for a moment and you're mm-hmm. engaged in, you know, hearing that story of someone else, but it always brings you back, I think, and can resonate with you and yourself in some way.
Yeah.
So I think it's so interesting that he chose, that's the way that he chose to communicate. And then even before he came, how the people of God would communicate about who he was. They would tell it verbally mm-hmm. to one another about, you know, everything that he had done, his good works, or about the laws that they communicated, or whatever that looked like, was in, you know, oral form and, like, essentially in a story.
Yeah. So, Misty, you're going to come on the show a lot.
Well, I'll be honored to be a part of it, whatever that looks like.
You know,
sure.
It was funny because you have become such a great friend of mine and, like, a true trusted bestie. I hate that word. I feel like it's so weird, but, you know, people use it and it's whatever. But, I mean, you really have become, like, in my top 3-4 friends who, when I am going through something, I'm like, okay, I need to talk to Misty. I'm gonna need me some Misty time. I need her to speak into my life and tell me what the Lord says when I can't hear him for myself. But I've just loved watching you grow and, like, how the Lord has just, like, oh man, he has taken those passions of purpose and, you know, what he planted 10 years ago, like, and I remember, like, you sitting at the desk in the front lobby and us just talking about, like, what you, these things that you were feeling, you know.
Yeah.
And it's been really fun to see how God has just taken that and has just done some, you have really incredible stories now from your last couple of years. But so, and then we were on the phone that day and you were like, I think you should do a podcast. I was lamenting about not being able to write this book the way that I want to.
Yeah.
And you were like, you should just do a podcast.
Yeah. And it's the thing, you know.
It is. And I don't have to wear makeup or do my hair.
That's right.
Right? For video.
Just be how we are right now.
And I think it's great. So thanks for planting that seed, Misty. And thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that what the Lord has put in you, like, I believe truly he's purposed for you to do something like this, because I believe it will do just what you are hoping that it will do for people. That so I'm excited that you are on this journey and that you, you know, are going to bring others into the stories and share their stories that will bring hope.
You know that your song that you're adding to the playlist,
yes.
That's really like I had written that down as part of, like, the purpose and mission of this whole show of mm-hmm. let us just all become more aware of his presence, like, in everyday yeah. life, in normal people that aren't, like, on a platform or have a spotlight or have written a book or, you know, God's presence is in their life, and let's become aware of that, and let's experience the glory of his goodness, and let's hear somebody's story of how God's been good to them, and let it, you know, encourage something in me that God's going to be good to me too. So anyway,
right.
I love you so much, friend.
All right. Love you too.
Wow. Do you see why I love that girl so much? Our hope is not tied to a promise, wish, or dream, but to a real person, Jesus Christ. I hope today that you will consider trusting him and hoping in his love for you. He's trustworthy. That's what I've figured out in my life, and I'm really hoping that for your life too. Hey, guys, this has been so much fun. I can't wait to do this again. This is going to be a blast. Thanks for joining us. If you have the Anchor app, you can leave me a message right there on the app. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Love, Hope, and Stories. We're on Twitter at Love, Hope, Stories. They don't have enough room for the and. You can also email me at, guess what, lovehopeandstories@gmail.com. I can't wait to hear from you. Until next time.